podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
I'm Sam Keir, host of Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. For the past 12 months, I've been talking to T20 star David Visa, getting his take from behind the scenes at the IPL, the 100 and the rest of the world's biggest leagues.
That's the Tony Review system, Diogo. There's no ways in my mind that was up.
These guys don't know how to win at this stage.
He had his driver pick him up in his Bentley.
People start chanting your name. You kind of have to pinch yourself.
Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. Listen now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sport Social.
When you bundle your renters and auto insurance with Progressive, you could save money, but it doesn't cover any terrible memories living rent-free in your head.
You remember that time you were singing in the shower, and then you heard a knock on the wall, and then you realized that your bathroom shared a wall with your neighbor's bedroom, and all you could do was stand there silently, thinking about all the other things they may have heard in the 4 years you've lived there? Yeah, good times.
Sorry, we can't save you from that memory, but we could save you money bundling your renters and auto insurance with Progressive. Coverage from Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and third-party insurers. Renters insurance and bundle discount not available in all states or situations.
It's the Blue Room. I'm your host, Ben Crawford, for this week, a special edition podcast. Here with me is Johnny Garside, the mental health and well-being manager at Everton in the Community. We're here to talk all things mental health, all things Everton in the Community, due to it being Men's Health Week in the week just gone. So it's quite relevant that we get this podcast out there. So Johnny, welcome to the Blue Room. I believe it's a debut for you on any of our podcasts. How have you been this week?
All right. Yeah, not too bad. And many thanks for the invitation to speak. It's great to be here.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Thank you for gracing us with your presence on the show. You know, if you could just, obviously your job title is the Mental Health and Wellbeing Manager at Everton in the Community, as I said earlier. Johnny, do you want to just tell the listeners a little bit about, you know, how long you've been at Everton in the Community and what your role is day to day?
Yeah, so I count it a great privilege to have been a part of Everton in the Community, I think, almost about 13, 14 years now, so been around for a little while, and my role essentially is helping design, deliver, coordinate the health and well-being arm of Everton in the Community, which is obviously the official charity of Everton Football Club. So we design and deliver a range of different health and well-being themed projects out in the community, all with the overt objective of trying to positively challenge health inequalities and raise the quality of life of marginalised, at-risk and vulnerable people across the region.
Yeah, no, that's excellent. And obviously I mentioned at the top of the show, Johnny, that it was Men's Health Week from the 14th to the 20th of this month just gone. So that being in mind, has there been any, has been business as usual you in terms of that, or is there anything different you've done this week to reflect that?
Yeah, well, we have, you know, our key provision that's happening each day, each week throughout the year, but obviously those key moments in the calendar when we look to kind of drive up the awareness around certain key themes, be it, you know, like you say, Men's Health Week, Mental Health Awareness Week, International Refugee Week, Diabetes, Cancer Awareness. There's so many different key promotion awareness raising days throughout the year and the kind of key features in our calendar. So we'll always try to leverage support to coincide with those kind of key dates, really, by putting on special events or, you know, profiling and highlighting some of the work that we do and the impact that it's having on people's lives and stuff. So yeah, for Men's Health Week, we've done quite a lot of stuff around kind of raising awareness as to the provision that we have in place to support men's health. And yeah, we've done some key case studies, reporting back to funders around the impact that it's had on some men's health generally, but kind of profiling specifically some of the work that we've been doing targeting young men with early experiences of mental health, young men who've been displaced and been residing in the city as asylum seekers and refugees, and some of our targeted work supporting older people and older men specifically around our walk and football provision. So quite a lot going on day to day, but certainly for Men's Health Week, that's a big key date for us in the diary.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think it's very important, you know, some of the issues you know you've raised there and the support that's on offer. I mean, we all know how good Everton are as a community sort of hub. They're absolutely fantastic, unrivaled for me across the Premier League and I suppose European football, really, for the work they do off the pitch. As an Evertonian like myself, Johnny, I mean, it must be a pretty, pretty almost dream job for you. I know, obviously, you've been there a long time now and that, but how much pride does it give you knowing that you're working for an organisation such as Everton in the community that is just so stellar in all of its application and everything it does? I mean, it must be a real privilege, obviously, for them to have you and for you to obviously have them to work for as well.
100%. Couldn't agree more. I count it, as I say, a great privilege. I feel very blessed each day to go into work and do the job that I do, and you know, feel like I can really make a difference. I'm being given the platform to be able to positively impact people's lives that need the support. So it's a great privilege, and as an Evertonian myself, you know, it fills me with immense pride to see the work that the charity does and to be somewhat involved with that and helping shape in that over the time. And certainly the exciting plans that we've got ahead of us for the next kind of 3 to 5 windows. It's a fantastic time to be a part of the charity. And yeah, it is. It's a dream job. And every day kind of get up with a spring in my step knowing that I'm part of a fantastic organisation that really is leading the path in many respects.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't think any Evertonian or any Premier League football fan, you know, anyone at all would ever criticise the work Everton do in the community. It's absolutely unrivaled, you know, as I said before. And just a bit more about you, Johnny. Obviously, you've been at Everton for an awful long time now. You know, you've really made a difference over a long period of time now at Everton in the community. So what's your background? How did you get involved in all that? And how did all that come about all them years ago to get involved with Everton? It must have been, you know, a really, really, really good time for you as well and for Everton to make that mutual relationship where you then obviously took the job that you're doing now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been a long journey and many twists and turns along the way. But I guess it probably started as a boy, you know, supporting the Blues, going to games, just being an avid fan, and then I guess translating that passion into being a player myself and just loving the game. You know, and having my own, you know, career playing it, and then studied, went off to university, kind of focused more so on sports science and exercise physiology, but there was always a passion there around the application of, you know, how I can be involved in sport in some way, and specifically football. But coaching was kind of the initial passion for me, kind of alongside my playing days, and then transitioning out of playing and more so into coaching. So that kind of led me to volunteer in the first instance with Everton and the community. And you know, as I was studying, there was an opportunity to, you know, be part of some of the volunteering programs and soccer camps and various different programs. And that was, I guess, my first introduction to Everton and the community, which was a great shop window for me to be able to see the length and breadth of the work that Everton and the community does, and you know, to get myself, you know, known, I guess. And then from there, I kind of went off traveling and spent a couple of years abroad coaching, and but always had it in my heart really to kind of return back home, and then you know, had my heart set on, my sights set on a job at Everton, being the coming together of my two main passions, really, which is, well, three main passions, football, Everton, and helping people. And that was the culmination of Everton and the community, really. So started very, very, very kind of small acorns, volunteering, coaching, working across various different programs. And then I guess I've kind of just risen up the ranks and been involved in various different departments and programs along the way. But, you know, I really do take pride in the work that we do, and it was the health and well-being aspect of Everton and the community that was really most prominent for me, and wanting to kind of add my skills to it, learn more about it, get heavily invested into. So that's a personal passion of mine. So yeah, all of those things combined together, it really is a dream job.
Yeah, no, I can see that, and I can see the passion that you have for it, which is absolutely great. And just on your effort in the community, volunteering that you did in the early stages and to this day as well. You know, I personally, obviously, we've spoken, you know, off air, I get involved with as much with Everton in the community in the voluntary sense as I can. You know, I've done the fundraising Santa Dashes for Everton in the community. I was lucky enough to get a tour of the Liver building as part of my fundraising as well. You know, there was also the Sleep House that I did just before COVID hit last March now, right back when life seemed more normal than anything. But, you know, it was really a privilege for me to even be able to volunteer to get in, you know, to get into that side of things and, you know, try to make a difference in my own way. Are those the kind of volunteering events that you started doing and are still taking part in now as part of your role?
Yeah, very much so. You know, there's so much to get involved with, and, you know, I think as a charity we really do well in that area of bringing our fan base and I guess just the city and further afield close to us and feel connected along the way to the journey and the causes that we work towards being involved with. So yeah, very much so. Those early days of kind of being involved with the various different fundraising campaigns and volunteering on various projects, and still to this day involved with a number of them. So I'm not sure exactly what the stats would be, but a high percentage of our kind of full and part-time staff have gone through that same process themselves of volunteering initially and then, you know, progressing on to paid employment. So it's a key component of our work, and the lifeblood of the work that we do is the volunteers that help underpin the work that obviously our staff deliver and help out so graciously and passionately on all of the fundraising activities that we do to kind of help support the work that we do. So yeah, massive respect for all of the volunteers, that they do an amazing job.
Yeah, no, I can't echo that sentiment enough. I think it's absolutely fantastic that all the volunteers get involved, and it is real. It's, for me, I found it when I took part in the events, it's sort of they were really my first, you know, dipping my toe in the water in terms of getting involved with Everton and getting, you know, some volunteering work under my belt. And I found it a real, like you say, a sense of community, everyone pulling for the same end project. And it was a really special feeling. And I don't think many clubs across the UK can honestly say they have that kind of impact. You know, I remember, you know, obviously, again, we'll go on to COVID and stuff, but before all that happened, we had the Sleep Out. And then obviously the Santa Dash, which is probably one of the most famous community events ever, and get involved a lot with that, because, you know, you would assume that it's just hundreds or thousands of people dressed in red Santa suits, but Everton get the blue Santa suits out there and, you know, make a real Everton in the community job of it. You know, we all, like I say, got a tour of the Liver building when we were fundraising, and it was well covered sort of in the press, that side of thing. It's just absolutely, it sort of makes it just a wonderful day, you know, for everyone. And, you know, thankfully on those days it didn't rain either, so it made it a little bit more enjoyable for the runners ourselves. But just on, obviously, we do have to cover sort of, you know, how your role was affected from that point onwards with COVID, coronavirus. It's been a difficult time for a lot of people, hence why your job really is probably even more important, dare I say, than it was before, because it's a very testing time for a lot of people. So I know, obviously, your role, you know, is very specific to do with, obviously, your well-being, your mental health and that side of things. Well, how much was your role affected when all this time? Because, obviously, you are a key worker in the truest sense of the word. Your role has kept going. Your job still had to be there, if not even more so. So how's that affected the day-to-day role of your role in particular?
Mm-hmm. Well, massively, in short. And that we've been able to, not being able to deliver the work that we do in the same way that we've been accustomed to over many years. But what I would say is that there's been elements of the work that we've done since and the way that we've been able to adapt, which have been really positive. So we obviously had to, you know, cease doing our traditional kind of face-to-face in-person delivery for obvious reasons, and it was very much a case of adapting as quickly as we can to respond to, you know, the needs that were emerging and kind of being presented to us almost on a day-by-day basis as we kind of learned, you know, the circumstances that we were in. But I've got to say, as a club and as a charity, we really did respond swiftly and proactively by ensuring the safety of all staff and participants by being one of the first clubs, I guess, to make that position of closing all our sites. And then, you know, in a very short space of time from that announcement, we then launched our Blue Family campaign, which was our targeted outreach campaign specifically to support, you know, vulnerable, marginalised, at-risk people directly related to the COVID-19 pandemic. And then we translated all of the work that we do to be online and remote and put provision in place to be able to support people on our programmes using that platform, really. So be it online coffee mornings, be it physical activity sessions, yoga groups, quizzes, you know, you name it, really. We had a comprehensive online activity timetable kind of drafted up together within, you know, 48 hours, really, you know, so that people could still have that sense of being connected, could still, you know, be connected to like-minded people on programs, their friends, EITC staff, and still obviously get the support that they needed during a very, very challenging time, like you say, very unprecedented time. And that's continued right throughout, really. So, you know, more than a year, really, we've had that system in place that's been able to continue on the work that we do on a daily basis for our program participants. But alongside that, obviously, our Blue Family campaign has been our kind of our linchpin, really, to pull all of that together for those that aren't necessarily part of our programs, but have been in dire straits and have been in, you know, crisis and in need throughout the pandemic, really. So that's taken the form of, you know, weekly welfare check-in calls, food box distributions, electricity bills being covered, mobile phone bills being covered, players and managers making check-in calls to fans and people in need. You know, there's been a whole range of online provision, at homeschooling provision, activity booklets, recipes, you know, fun stuff for the kids to do. There's been just so much, and, you know, it's been a real team effort, and I'm so proud of our organisation that we reacted so positively and proactively to support, I would say, you know, fans of all colours, really, throughout what has been a very difficult time.
Yeah, and you mentioned, obviously, you know, the Blue Family there. That's exactly, you know, that for me is sort of a perfect phrase to use for this kind of thing. It's, Everton is a family, and I think it's one of the very few clubs that is left like that, and I think it's absolutely fantastic, you know, the use of that name and, you know, what it means to everyone. But in, you know, in terms of, obviously, you know, you've gone into some good detail there about how things have changed, obviously due to the coronavirus, etc. But, you know, how difficult for you personally, obviously your job is a very hands-on, you know, face-to-face job. How difficult was it for you to sort of adapt to that working from home sort of, you know, you know, you say the virtual coffee morning and things like that. Was that a real, you know, real shock to you and, you know, a hurdle for you to overcome in terms of delivering the same quality service just from, you know, a completely different angle?
Yeah, it was a learning curve. You know, I think there's elements of how we've been able to adapt our provision that have been really positive. And I think moving forwards, as we start to kind of phase back into face-to-face delivery, that we'll look to kind of continue on and embed within our, you know, our delivery moving forward. So it'll be almost like a blended approach of both, where it's the, obviously, the in-person face-to-face delivery paired with the remote online activity to give the opportunity for both kind of ends of the spectrum to be involved. Because, you know, for some people, the face-to-face delivery and the absence of that has been a real challenge, because you know, that's the bread and butter of why they engage or how they engage best. And they may well have barriers related to some of the online activity that's had been a challenge for them to engage with at all, or just hasn't been as impactful as the in-person stuff. And conversely, some people have really kind of flourished and engaged wholeheartedly, and mitigated a lot of the risks associated with, you know, what's been presented in the last, 15 months or so, in terms of risk factors related to, isolation and mental health and what have you, because they've been so connected to the online provision that we put in place. So for various, groups, it's really been a key feature, and has been a massive component that we've been supporting people in the past year or so. And then for others, it's just kind of been a stopgap until the real thing or the in-person delivery returns. So we'll probably pull both approaches together to encompass and to cater for all people when we do obviously return to phased back delivery, that we've got the option for both, really. But it hasn't been easy, in short, and we have had to adapt. We have had to do things in a slightly different way than we're accustomed to. But that's a credit to the staff and our leadership and, our management committee, that they've been able to proactively support us to be able to do the job that we do, but just in a different way. And, there's elements of that that, as I say, will continue on beyond the pandemic. But it's about, just being really conscientious in our work to ensure that we can keep people connected as best as possible, because, I think the bigger pandemic beyond the COVID-19 crisis will be the mental health crisis, the real after effects, the hangover of the COVID-19 pandemic will be the impact that it's had on people longer term. As people start to, get their social freedoms somewhat restored to them or restrictions lifted, it can present even more challenges for people to go back to what was, the previous norm. So, we've got to be mindful of that and ensure that we can be there to bridge that gap, because the transition from one thing to another, research will tell us, is littered really with risk factors related to poor health and wellbeing outcomes. So we're putting provision in place to help, as I say, bridge that and mitigate some of the risk factors associated.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And also, obviously, we're covering this, this special edition podcast today, sort of around Men's Health Week, as we've discussed earlier. But obviously, this isn't, this definitely isn't gender exclusive. It's also not exclusive to just Evertonians, as well. Everton in the community is a community for everyone in the City region. It's not just to do with Everton fans. So bearing that in mind, Johnny, can you tell us just a bit more about the access people have to the services provided? Obviously, the fact that it's not specific to anyone in particular, anyone can access these services and anyone can reach out, can't they?
100%. Yeah. Please, for anyone that is listening or has had this podcast shared to them, please be encouraged to get in touch and, get involved in any of the programs that we deliver, or, just learn more about us, because although we are obviously the official charity of Everton Football Club, but we're not exclusive to just Everton fans. And in fact, some of the, the best case studies and the most impactful journeys that some of our participants have gone on are from, Liverpool fans or Tranmere fans or, fans of other clubs. So, it's not about football in the sense of who you support. It's about the football family coming together, regardless of your allegiance and what colour that you support or what club. But being there, as you say, the football family to support each other. So, yeah, we are very inclusive and would encourage anyone of any code of the game or any club to get involved. And the main probably access point would be through the website. Obviously, we've got our Everton the Community website with all of the links there to the Blue Family campaign, the various programs that we run. And there's a wealth of information and specific contact details for people to get in touch to learn more.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's great to, that you have outlined there that, it isn't specific to gender. It isn't specific to your allegiances. It isn't specific to anything. Anyone can access these services and anyone can get the help that Everton in the community offer. And just a couple more points before we wrap up, Johnny. Of course, you mentioned there, the different sorts of events that are on and encouraging people to volunteer and get involved, as I personally have done in my free time as well. I mean, it's difficult at the moment because of the landscape of the uncertainty around the world at the moment, especially in the UK with lockdowns, etc. But, you know, what is the best way, you know, as you've sort of alluded to slightly then, what's the best way to get involved? Will there be events coming up that people can get involved in, perhaps even virtually, in the current situation that we're in?
Yeah, there will be, and there's been, you know, great events that have happened over the past, you know, 12 months or so that people have been able to still engage with, albeit online. So, yeah, I guess it's just a case of keeping abreast of the work that's happening on our social media platforms and our website, and there's just so much going on, I guess, for people to get involved with. So they would be my first signpost, really, for people to, I guess, generally just to keep up to date with everything that's going on with the charity, but also with a view to specific events and volunteering opportunities, they'd be your best point of call.
Yeah, and I will certainly be getting back involved as soon as we're all allowed to, essentially, you know, once the event sort of standardised, sleep out start coming back, any fun runs, anything like that, that's sort of where, me personally, I will be getting involved. And so I'd implore any of the listeners to this podcast to also get involved. You can get in touch with us at the Blue Room as well, and we will always point you in the right direction of the work that Johnny does and the work of everyone at Everton in the community, the various events. And they can also go to their social media page as well. They've always got plenty of great content up there. But final sort of segment of the show now, Johnny. I mean, it's difficult to predict in such an uncertain world, as we've alluded to already. But, you know, the future of your role after COVID, what most are you looking forward to as we move out of this COVID situation? What most are you looking forward to within your role as the world starts to hopefully get back to normal? Are you looking forward to being more hands-on with your approach to your job? You know, other opportunities for fundraising within your role. What's the plan for you in a post-COVID world with your role? Where are you planning to take it?
Yeah, as I mentioned at the start of the show, it's a very exciting time to be part of the charity. In the not-too-distant future, we'll be putting a spade in the ground for our new purpose-built mental health support facility, the People's Place, which is a next piece of the jigsaw in our Everton in the Community campus. For those that know it, just on Spellow Lane there, just a short walk from Goodison Stadium. And that's going to be, you know, a really exciting development for our department specifically, because that's going to be the hub, the HQ really, for all of our activity. So there'll be, you know, a lot of information coming out about that in the not too distant future, but, you know, really exciting development that we'll see. You know, specific support and intervention in place for people who need it, you know, to help mitigate some of those, you know, risks or related to poor mental health. So that's a very exciting thing that's in the not too distant future. We've launched a number of new projects recently. Recently, just one called Out of the Blue, which is our online mental health education course, which we're delivering with a local private practice. And it's an opportunity for people to learn more about mental health, learn better coping strategies, become more self-aware as to some of the aspects of mental health that they can learn more about, and help invest in their own mental health and well-being. A number of different new programs that we've launched, one recently supporting female refugees and asylum seekers. Again, a great addition to our portfolio of projects to support, you know, a very marginalized, underrepresented group. So there's just so many exciting things happening on a daily basis. And then I guess the kind of more medium to longer term vision is obviously the transition of Goodison to Bramley Moor Dock and the kind of Goodison legacy that will be left in its place. And just, yeah, a very exciting time as a club, certainly as a charity, as a department. You know, we've got plans to be able to drive the work that we do to the next level and support more and more people, because ultimately that's what it's about. It's about leveraging the support that we can through the inspirational brand of Everton Football Club and the reach of Everton in the community to support as many people as we can to improve quality of life and positively challenge, you know, the health inequalities across the city.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree with that more. And Johnny, just as we wrap up now, you know, we've already kind of gone over the access to services point of the show where, you know, you've detailed, you know, how people can get involved. Just as a final reference to anyone listening who does fancy getting involved or anything like that in any of the voluntary centres sort of, what would you recommend? Go to the social media pages, the websites, and getting in contact that way and getting involved?
Yeah, they would be your first point of calls, really. I guess that, you know, the various sections on the website, you know, you could spend a good few hours just perusing at your leisure, the various different departments, activities, engagements that you can get involved with. And there's just tons and tons of great content on our social media platforms as well. So, yeah, I would really advise anyone to spend some time just having a look through there, find what it is that you're kind of passionate about, that you'd like to get involved with, and then get in touch. Yeah, there's all the contact details will be on those two platforms.
Yeah. No, absolutely, absolutely. Again, and that, you know, personally, I would recommend that anyone would like to get involved would do so. You know, I can only recommend the volunteering events enough. They were a lot of fun. They were for a great cause. I think, you know, the People's Place that you did mention there, Johnny, was actually one of the main, you know, sources of fundraising. That was what we were fundraising for. And I think that's just going to be an absolute, you know, yardstick for just how far the community have gone to help the people of the city region, to help everyone who needs the help that, well, that they need, essentially. But, you know, that's sort of all we've got to cover on the Men's Health Week side of things now, John. I hope you've enjoyed being on the show. It seems like a very exciting time to be part of Everton in the community. It sounds like there's a lot of exciting things coming up, and it's nice to see that positive outlook, you know, considering the world we're living in at the moment. And hopefully as things ease and get a little bit better, it's going to be even better for everyone to get involved, Johnny.
Absolutely, yeah, there's much reason to be optimistic about what, you know, the new world, I guess, the new order in terms of how we'll then come out of COVID and the after effects of it, you know, that we can be, you know, looking forward to, as much as we need to be cautious and measured with our approaches as we, you know, navigate what is, you know, obviously been a very difficult time for people. There's much reason to be optimistic and excited about, and, you know, we'll be there through it all, thick and thin, to be able to support the people that we are engaging with. So much reason to be excited.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would obviously, you know, just to echo the sentiments again, I'd implore anybody to get involved for any kind of support they need with Everton in the community, to get involved with any of the volunteering events, also as Johnny has outlined as well. So all that's left for me to say is, Johnny Garside, thank you very much for joining us on this Men's Health Week special on the Blue Room today. I hope you've enjoyed your first Blue Room podcast.
Yeah, many thanks for the invite, Ben, and keep up the good work.
Try our best. We will try our best. So that is all we've got time for on that show today, the Men's Health Week special with Johnny Garside. Make sure you like, subscribe, and follow us on Patreon at the Blue Room Extra for all the extra content that we produce. And like I say again, anyone who is in need of any support, anybody who wants to get involved, as I do myself, with Everton in the community, there'll be plenty on the social media channels from us to outline where you go for that information. But I've been Ben Crawford. Thank you very much for listening to this show. And we'll be back with the usual shows throughout the weeks and months as we draw close to the season starting up again.
Northern Tool and Equipment isn't just a store. It's a problem solver's paradise. Fully stocked with the right professional grade tools and fully staffed with experts who have the right answers. Problem solved.
Northern Tool and Equipment summer sale is on now. Stop in and save up to 50% on pressure washers, sprayers, generators, fans, lawn and garden equipment, and more. Hundreds of deals in store or at northerntool.com.
Sports Social Podcast Network.